You are about to receive messages that may be harmful to your mental state. Your sense of reality will be questioned. Your view on things will be altered. You are now part of the meta. The meta controls everything. The meta determines what will and will not happen. You are watching the Meta Show.
You gotta be kidding me! You gotta be kidding me! We start the show.
You missed the smug. You missed the smug.
I'll do it over. I'll do it over. It's fine. We'll do it. Fuck it. We're doing it live.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Welcome everyone to the Meta Show. It is August 15th, 2020. I am Brisk Rabal. I am joined by the Mitanni and Asher Elias, and it is drink o'clock. Victory and Fountain. I hope you all decide to get a drink and hang out with me, and that would be great. And we're looking forward to it.
Oh my. Yeah. So, the people who can't figure out how to, you know, unmute and like run a show, I was having trouble, connecting to Zoom earlier. It kept crashing on me. If you're one of our enemies, I want you to know, we're the people that kicked your asses. Like you, the people that can't figure out how to use our microphones, we can't use operate technology. With 150,000 of you, you failed completely, to accomplish anything. On your biggest day of strength, after all of the opportunities to try to prove that the U.S. time zone massacre that we inflicted on you the other day was a fluke, and it turns out, oh wait, it's not a fluke. It was planning and preparation. We planned, and you guys followed pro-god legend, and so you got what you deserve, because that's what happens. Every time anybody follows a pro-god legend quest into Delve, it's, oh, we're going to go defeat Gunswarm, oh, it's going to be easy, da-da-da-da, and then the murdering starts. So you get what you deserve. Look forward to more of it, because we only got a chance to use like 10% of the cool toys we had, because we kicked your asses so fast and you failed so quickly that we didn't. We have such wonderful things to show you, and you sucked so much that we didn't get to kill you in the creative ways, because you just failed in the stupid and obvious ways. I really just want to make sure that there's enough contempt in my voice that you understand how little I think of the assembled 3-to-1 outnumbered 103 alliances, 150,000 fucking pubbies, 150,000 fucking pubbies on a weekend with all your time, all your preparation, all your strategy, your amazing leaders. And that's all you got? You're not even in Delve yet. Fuck, man.
So Mittens, you were going to be the good cop?
Oh yeah, that's right. I was going to try to say earlier before the show. I'm like, you know what? I think I should probably like, you know, just play this one straight and be like, yeah, you know, we've got some lessons learned, and you know, we've got a lot of work to do here, and you know, we're going to dig some trenches. But then, you know, the moment I see puppies, I do kind of like, you know, the red mist comes and gets a little exciting. It's been fun. It's not how I expected to spend my day. I expected to spend the next several hours in heavy tie-dye fighting.
We all did.
I didn't expect to have a fireside at the normal time. I didn't expect to have the meta show at the normal time. I mean, yeah, but this is what you get. Like, I think that they genuinely believe, like the PanFam people genuinely believe, they'd convince themselves that that we, like, here's the thing. All right? Here's the thing. When we told you that we were retreating to better ground, when we left Cloud Ring, when we left the indefensible bits of Fountain, you believed that we were broken and that it was going to be easy and that we were actually just legitimately retreating because we were losing and blah, 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 as opposed to learning the lessons of the casino war and fighting on better defensible ground where we can actually do things and plan accordingly. And you have now repeatedly failed on the same Keepstar, different time zones, different opportunities to plan and deal with our tactics. And yeah, no, this is more of what you get. This is, I'm delighted that the grind has begun, and I look forward to more of you stuck in heavy tie-dye suffering as my people laugh and cackle as they blow your shit up and humiliate you in front of the entire galaxy, because it's what you deserve. It's what you deserve. You come after the Imperium, Progod Legend gets out there and gives a speech talking about how, oh, the Goonswarm leadership is so toxic. Oh, they're so evil. Let's get the entire game together to get rid of Goonswarm for the good of the game. And you expect us to not fight you? You expect it to be easy? You expect any kind of quarter? You expect anything other than contempt and derision? That was pathetic. You had no backup plan. You lost the Ravens. You relied on Test Alliance? You relied on Test Alliance. You relied on Progod Legend to run a fucking Raven fleet, which got deleted immediately, and you had no backup plan. You have no chain of command. Your leaders are a fucking joke. Your war plan is a fucking joke. Bring more.
The best part was Pickles didn't even make it into YTAC 2. He died in ZXB. That's the funny part. So, first of all, I would like to say, you know, obviously we had fun today, but my drink here, cheers to the Big Red Boat, cheers to Sister Bliss, because these two guys were the absolute heroes of the fight today. They were the FCs of the two bomber wings that deleted the Ravens that were putting damage on the Keepstar. And I have to give Tess credit. I like Ravens. They're my favorite doctrine. They brought Ravens in. I don't know why they didn't put an MWD on them. They just put an MJD. But they didn't last very long. And thanks to those two beautiful bomb rums, Boat got them into half armor, half, you know, pretty close to structure, and then Bliss finished them off.
The rest of the way. It was beautiful.
It was exactly what you would expect. It's exactly what you wanted to do. So thank you, guys. My drinks to you. Cheers to Boat. Cheers to Bliss. We've been calling them the Big Red Bliss in the initiative. So we're very pleased with that outcome. It was very good.
You know, I want to ask Asher something. So, like, one of the things that I forgot about, because it was another Progod Legend bit of nonsense, but about 3 years ago, and again, like, whatever, Progod Legend made a bunch of Herf Blurf, and he went on, like, Canadian television and dressed up in a suit and talked about a $1 million battle involving, it seems like, actually a fairly similar scenario to what just happened, and we were the ones in the opposing position. Asher, could you tell us a little bit about this? And, you know, what was that? And how did that relate to this?
Yeah,
today?
It seems like a long time ago, but Pandemic Horde was unanchoring Keepstars in Cloud Ring, which at the time, the culture lived in, I think the culture still lived in Fountain, or had just recently moved. Maybe that's why they're unanchoring them. So they controlled that area. They lived in Fade. But they were trying to take a Keepstar out. And then we realized, well, you can't unanchor a Keepstar if we are, you know, if we ref it. So we were just sort of refing it over and over again. And it became like a big deal. And basically, there was a timer. I don't remember if it was armor or hull. I think it was armor, but I don't remember now. And we had decided, like, to go there. We would Skynet, which, you know, send your carrier fighters over. And we would use subcapitals to shoot it. And, you know, and then PGL made this, like, you know, post on Reddit that got to the front page of all, because he put it on gaming.
It was a huge thing. It was like,
it was calling us.
Amazing.
He tried to bait us into dropping our Titans and Supers onto the Keepstar, like, itself. And we were not interested in doing that. We didn't do it. We used the fighters, and the Keepstar repaired. You know, it was the same thing happened. And they spent about a week just hardcore memeing, mocking us, you know, saying how dumb we were, et cetera, et cetera. All these dudes who were at that fight were at this fight. They all know exactly how it works. They've had 3 years of notice how it works. Everyone who is
total
in command
failure.
Knows.
Total failure with the same people involved. They were on the other side of the fight. Yeah. They should have known how this went, but they failed. Because, I don't know, they're fools, or they were smug, or it's Progod Legend, or what the fuck ever.
I've never defended Citadels before, by the way. Like, this is the first time in my life.
These are so cool.
Yeah,
remember, so many advantages.
Like, remember, we're the crabs, like, right? We never leave our home. I've never defended Citadels before.
We're usually the ones killing them.
It's such a force multiplier. Holy.
Oh, my God.
Like, I cannot believe how, like, good this feels.
It is so goony. It is so goony. Like, we have just been coming up with so much bullshit, and we didn't get to use, like, one of the reasons why I'm kind of frustrated is, like, we didn't even get to use a tiny percentage of the bullshit.
Listen, they got 60 Keepstars to kill. Like, there'll be plenty of times to use all of the bullshit we've come up with.
Yep.
When they do 180 more of these, reset the clock, 180. So I never defended before. I've never defended like a Keepstar before. I barely defended a fort. It's so nice. It's crazy.
It really is a joy. I mean, you know, to be fair, like there are things that we could do better.
We are
learning. That's like our second big like
we had issues
our defense yeah. doctrine fight. Like, you know, there's always like, room for improvement.
Like, let's shout out the FC team. Like, we had like 8 hours of prep yesterday. We had logistics dudes like working like literally through the night. We had everyone going. There was so much work that went into defending this, and we're not in our final form yet. Like, we could definitely,
we're only just now getting started. Yeah.
We could definitely power up more.
Yeah.
And also
we don't have
our caps or supers to use here. Like, we don't have those available.
Cause they're not even fucking delved yet.
So yeah, when they get through three more, then they get to start using caps and supers on the cube stars as well. And we have more stuff for when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that these guys have failed completely even when they have every advantage, right? They could be using supers. They have the cap advantage and fountain. They could be doing so much more, and yet instead they are making the same mistakes that they have made repeatedly. Number one, including following Piggles into a fucking Delve invasion. I mean, come on. I'm sure that he will blame somebody else because that is his nature. But, you know, guys, I mean, I just want you to know, we will do better next time. We are not going to just sit on our laurels from this victory. We learned a lot of better ways to kill you when you try to invade our space, and we're going to be working on optimizing that. It's not going to be necessarily a perfect record of success. I imagine that we'll still lose some keep stars. Eventually, we'll still lose. I mean, we did lose some keep stars. We lost some keep stars. That's right. I forgot. We lost some keep stars. We'll talk about them a little.
We don't have these fucking people. like they're going to get these ones in fountains eventually. Like, there's just no
these fucking puppies.
Well, that's I mean, that to Asher's point, that's exactly right. I mean, look, I love the fact that we won today. YTAC 2, that keep star there, it's not going to be there forever. I mean, it's not.
We'll
but you know what?
Eventually,
if you guys, if they can form more than 1,000 people more than we could, 1,000 characters more than we could, got them into place, and still managed to fuck it up, that bodes well for the next couple of times we have to do this.
Oh, Brisk, so, you think it was just 1,000 more? No, they had 3 more fleets. They just didn't let them come.
There you go.
Like, you know, so
at least
like,
at least 150, almost
2,000 puppies of failure. Gotta love it.
If they brought 3 more fleets in, they might have had a shot at it too. Like, if they not messed that up, if they brought those people in the system, like the tie-dye wouldn't have been any worse, really.
They have no excuse for this. They have absolutely no excuse for this. It really is amazing, especially because all the parties involved were involved in the $1 million battle fight. Because again, it's always the same blue donut of nerds coming at us and saying that we're the ones that are bad for the game and all these other excuses and whining and whatever. We were minding our own business. We went on a Jeff deployment, but you guys decided to storm the castle. We warned you this is what was going to happen. Now it's starting to happen, and it's going to continue, and it's going to get worse for you. The more that you come at Delve, the better our puppy wood chipper is going to be, because we are having a shitload of fun. We are. It's amazing. Every day we just have more time and space to find better ways to defend our space and better ways to make the invaders unhappy.
You ever use one of those like really crappy electric weed whackers that like barely do their job? That's the puppy wood chipper and fountain.
One?
Yeah, the puppy wood chipper and fountain's the electric weed whacker.
Yeah, because you know the ones that when they you know the guys that you know the legacy side trying to come in Aquarius and coming in period basis, they do periodically get the hammer dropped on them properly. And this fountain stuff, you know, one of the things I think that's so much fun about this is watching the PanFam guys who were thinking that they were winning so hard and that everything was so great on the PanFam side because we seeded fountain and a lot of things were left to blow up undefended. And we figured our shit out. We worked out a new system. We're like, okay, this is how we're going to defend. This is how we're going to do it. But these dumb motherfuckers actually believed that it was going to be easy because when we weren't contesting things, there wasn't a fight because it wasn't contested. You drank your own Kool-Aid and all that waits for you, all that waits for you in Delve is pain and humiliation in the video game, your spaceships getting blown up, and failure. Us having fun, laughing, mocking you as your shit gets blown up, when by all rights you should win. You outnumber us 3-1. You blew the entire galaxy. And this is what you bring to us. We will do a better job. we will do a much better job in the future. We will do a better job of defending our space while you're trying to attack our keep stars. We did let some hacks go through. We have a lot of work to do. We have space trenches to dig. We have doctrines to optimize. We have a huge debrief after all this. Tons more work to do, but all of it is just going to take what we have built here and optimize it further to bring about your failure until you fuck off. Like, you guys can just leave. But as long as you're attacking us, we are just going to continually find better ways to mulch you. And seems to be working out so far. I mean, you know, we could do, could be better. Could be better. We got some new things we can try. I can't believe these fucking idiots.
That's how you do it.
I can't even believe we're given a normal meta show. Like, I expected this to last like 5 hours. Because, okay, so let me back up here. It took these motherfuckers 3 hours, 3 hours to do a shield reinforcement 2 days ago in USTZ, right? They lost more than 600 ships, more than 900 fighters against us defending a keep star, which we didn't have a proper cash in. We didn't have proper prep for it. We got in, we started defending it, and it was like, oh shit, this is actually working. Like, we're actually like mulching their fighters. This is going places. So we like invested more in it and we came up with new things. And it took them 3 hours to get through the shield timer. And that was in between 30 and 50% tie-dye. This was 2 nights ago in USTZ. That was the prep for this fight. This fight, of course, you guys didn't even have an opportunity to realize. We had armor plates on this baby. We kitted this baby out to be so awesome. And you didn't even really scratch the paint on the armor layer, which is incidentally a shitload heavier in terms of EHP than the shield layer. So if we had the same fight from 2 days ago, and it took you 3 hours to get through the damn shield layer, it was going to take you about 5 hours with the same tie-dye as 2 days past. But of course, you decided to bring like 4,000 fucking dudes, and tie-dye was like 10%, and would have taken you like 10 hours, 12 hours, something like that, to get through the armor layer. That's what you have to look forward to, guys. Armor layer on these keep stars, T2 plates all the way. It is just a gigantic pile of go fuck yourself, because you're invading us, and that's what you get. It's not about fun for you. It's about fun for us. And man, I'm kind of disappointed because we had all this. I can't talk about that on the show. Anyway, good times. Good times.
Good cop bins.
Yeah, I was totally going to be able to play good cop. fuck, man. That's just. I don't even know. Like, it's. I got nothing.
You had something. You just put it all out there.
There's nothing wrong with having nothing.
Actually shot it all over. It's everywhere now.
All right. Well, so here's what we're going to do, gentlemen. because Mittens has got nothing, and because there's some stuff we're trying to do in the background here to have some fun. We have a very special presentation today for all of you. Many of you have asked, and it's not Boat yet, but many of you guys have asked for a more in-depth conversation with Fountain Frank. So I took the opportunity this week to do a video, an interview, at Fountain Frank's house with him. And so I wanted to get this ready so you guys could see it. And in the meantime, we'll do some more fun stuff as well. But without further ado, the Meta Show presents our exclusive interview with Fountain Frank.
Hell yeah.
He's the spokesperson for the biggest galactic empire New Eden has ever seen. His name is Fountain Frank, and the Meta Show sat down with him for an exclusive interview to discuss his rise on the scene, what he thinks about the war in Fountain and the war in the rest of New Eden, and how he thinks things are going for the Imperium. Thanks for sitting down with me today, Fountain Frank. I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate your willingness to answer some of our questions today. You're welcome. Thanks for having me. You know, I'm a big fan of the show. I watch it every Saturday during executive time. So, this has been a tough week for the Imperium. Init has been pushed out of Fountain, and you guys have lost three Keep Stars, one in J5A, one in IGE, and one in CTEC-N. And if I'm correct, these are the first Keep Stars that you guys have lost in any war. Nothing you just said there was accurate. Excuse me? Yes, excuse you. I expected better journalism from you, Brisk. You're supposed to be a professional. First, the initiative's never lived in Fountain. First thing. Second of all, we haven't lost any Keep Stars. How can you say that Init never lived in Fountain? We staged out of those Keep Stars in J5A and IGE for years. Okay, let me dumb this down for you so maybe even Captain Soban can understand it. Have you ever been in local chat with Horde? Yeah, you have, right? So have I. Okay, and what do you hear constantly? Init are goons. Init and goons are the same. You are just goon pets. Okay, if that's true, where do goons live? Delve, right? Exactly. So if all of Init are goons, and goons live in Delve, Init lives in Delve. Not that hard a concept, right? That's actually logical. Of course it's logical. Listen, if you wanted to just hear children yelling at each other, go watch Redline Show. All right, so ignoring the question of where Init lives, the loss of these three Keep Stars, that's pretty significant, isn't it? Yes, it's definitely significant for the culture and for Horde. Why for those two groups? Brisk, you sound just like that streamer guy whose idea of a fine meal is a box of Crayolas. Okay? That was culture's Keep Star. Ragnar Bile, ask him. Just talk to him. It's his Keep Star. He knows it's his Keep Star. He's the one that put it there. He's the one that misaligned the damn thing in the first place, which was a war crime, if you ask me. Now, as for the other two, the IG and the CTEC-N Keep Star, well, they're in Horde space, so obviously they have to be Horde, right? How could you put them up if they weren't in Horde space? Besides, I'm pretty sure that those are just Horde Keep Stars masquerading as Init Keep Stars because they wanted to keep them safe in a bad neighborhood. I mean, look, right now, Fountain, you know, the property values there are about as good as you can get in a back-end system in Provid. You know, you got to be careful. A lot of AWOXers in Horde. So, IGE and CTEC-N are Horde systems. Horde has always owned Fountain, except for when Test owned it before. Like I said, Init lives in Delve. Your critics allege that all you do all day long is make things up and spin. What do you say to that? Fake news says what? What? Fake news says what? Excuse me, what? Exactly. You didn't answer my question. Okay, Matterall, let me answer your question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled to them. You want answers? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. The truth is that this war is a sham. It has always been a sham. Horde goes blowing up their own stuff. You got PanFam running around acting like they're doing a lot of things. Test it down in the south. They haven't done nothing. You got poor Brave going out and Atosising all Aquarius and acting like they did a big, bad, important thing. And then a week later, when goons take it all back, they got to pretend it didn't matter. I feel bad for those noobs. That's a shame. As for the rest, Test is doing less than nothing in the south. But the whole time, Villy and Piggleman are running around making all kinds of money with their TTT up in HiSec. Now let me ask you this, Mr. CSM man. You got to go and sit in these meetings and listen to Phantom Mike and listen to Torvald. How can you look those two guys in the eye knowing they're getting better content running Abyssal PvP sites on Twitch and running and doing dread bombs in LowSec than you guys have in your little NullSec war? How are you going to sit there and enjoy that? I bet that's a lot of fun for you, isn't it? I know it's been hard. It is hard. And that's the shame about this whole thing. It pains me to say how fake this war is. But it is. But hey, you know what? Can't not fight it. You got to keep fighting. So we're going to keep fighting the war no matter what, even though it's not real. And the only people making any money are the guys selling cormorants and munins. Because God knows that they've wealth enough of those. But hey, you know what? As the old adage says, Brisk, follow the isk.
Frank, you've been very generous with your time here today, and I think you've given us a lot to think about. So
it's been an honor.
That nearly killed
And we're back, and I'm glad. I hope you guys all enjoyed the interview with Fountain Frank, because obviously I muted
no
myself
sound, you're
again.
Muted. You're muted.
But the best part is, while we were doing our interview with Fountain Frank, we have our guest of the hour, the hero of the Imperium, the Big Red Boat. Welcome back to the Meta Show, Boat.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
How did it feel kicking everyone's ass today?
First, I got to thank NC Dot. You know, that wasn't possible without NC Dot. For those of you that don't know, they like bubbled themselves, you know, when we went to bomb them. So we couldn't get a warp in. But then some like NC Dot rapier burned out of the bubbles and kind of just sat in like this perfect spot to probe him out and like warp to him. So I probed him out and bookmarked his spot and then like warped my bombers to that spot. And then like all the bombers, like, yeah, we're 40 off them. So then we bombed. And apparently Brisk had the same idea because he used the same warping, which was kind of funny. And then they all died.
It was great.
And apparently even better is like Tess, like the Pickle, it was either Piggles or Villy. Like right before the bombers decloaked, like when they landed, he announced to his fleet, like, get ready for the next 6 hours of your lives because this is where we're going to be. And then like seconds later, he sees bombers and he goes, oh.
Next 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Sorry, yeah, guys.
We need to rename this the Keepstar though to a proper name.
It is renamed.
We need to call it Y-200 Dead Ravens.
That's really good. I like
that. That is actually pretty good.
That's even better than Try Harder. Try Again.
But yeah, no, we actually, to be honest, that with all those jackdaws they had, I thought they were going to defend their missile off. But the first like 8 bombers that launched, they said that all their damage hit and no defenders hit. And then like it wasn't until the second wave hit that like they said, okay, we got defended. But I had 40 bombers, I think, that actually made it to system because we had to go around. So like you guys jumped into ZXB. We took the gates and went through Hopib and through KVN and all the way up and didn't see any bad guys. So we went like 40 jumps around and we actually loaded on grid on our perches while you guys were still decloaking to like burn off the gate. So there was no tie-dye to go around. So yeah, it was nice. It was fun. I didn't expect the bombing run to work though. The bombs haven't been working lately, especially in heavy tie-dye.
That's what I was worried about, was the tie-dye, because we've had issues with that, you know.
Well, yeah, during the shield timer we did, where like init bombed like 8 times and the Feroxes would always get out like with a sliver of armor because the bombs either didn't explode enough or weren't working enough. So I honestly didn't know if it was going to work this time. So
I was happy that we were patient because I was in comms listening to Bliss getting ready to hit the bombers out. And I mean, because of the tie-dye, it takes so long for the bombs to leave the bomber and then get to the target that we didn't want to blow up our own bombs, blow up your bombs by launching ours too early. So the guys were like sitting there for like 5 minutes waiting to launch their bombs when it went through. And then we just started looking. And then it was just glorious because you just see Z-Kill fill with test dead ravens. It was just the most amusing thing ever. It was great.
One of the best ones too was we had this guy in fleet and I don't even remember who it was, but he kept like getting really frustrated with the fact that like the way tie-dye was working. So he kept saying, gosh, I wish this FC would just warp us already. And then like we warped and then he goes, man, these bombs aren't launching. It's just, I don't know what's going on. And about every 10 minutes, the guy would start talking and Fleet would be like, who the fuck's this guy? And it was great. And then I think we tried to bomb them a second time. But Killer B was real quick to like warp away as fast as possible. So we didn't get to do that. So we only got one good bombing run. That's kind of sad.
But hell, you know what?
One good sad run after that.
That good of a run. And I got to say, poor Test, I think their Raven's license has been denied.
Or at least
revoked.
I can't believe that worked. I don't know. I'm still kind of like in denial, I guess.
I
bet
you're fucking mana from
Pando.
Heaven,
I bet you an FC from Pando is like really like smug right now. You know, the guys who like take pride in flying those particular hulls whenever someone else flies them and they do poorly. I'm sure that he was feeling pretty smug about that.
He absolutely was. They both, I mean, look, Shines and Panda were both smug. I mean, Panda, I didn't talk to him today, but Shines was very smug because we're the ones that invented the whole Ravens killing Keepstars doctrine, and we thought it was cute that Tess was going to try to copy that.
Actually.
But it didn't work.
I honestly thought they were copying your fit, and I thought they were armor tanked, and I was worried that because Asher asked, he goes, like, what kind of bombs you got? And I said, Electron, and he went silent, so I was like, oh, fuck, they're armor tanked, so they're going to tank the Electron bombs. And then someone in fleet goes, no, shield tank boat. And I'm like, oh.
That's the thing. We're like, shield tanks, no MWDs, only MJDs. Okay, let's see how this goes.
And the Ravens don't work with shield tanks either because you can't lock far enough and you can't miss, can't go far enough. So you have to actually lose a lot of your tank, which is why I could not believe they were shield tanked. But, you know, it's Piggles and he tends to come up with dumb ideas.
Well, you know, occasionally Piggles has an interesting idea that does work, but it is basically like a 1 out of 100 ratio. And also when it comes to actually anything that involves work, like a campaign, you know, it's hasn't really worked out too well. Like he is an innovative thinker, credit to Piggles, but he is the last person that I would follow into a sustained software campaign that involves lots of work, lots of coordination, lots of planning, lots of prep. And also consistency and a willingness to admit failure and admit mistakes. Like if your first reaction to anything, like when things go wrong, is to say it was somebody else's fault, somebody didn't fit their ships right, or whoops, sorry guys, somebody else screwed this up, as opposed to whoops, I fucked up and led an entire coalition of 150,000 puppies into a doomed invasion of Delve again. Of course, last time he didn't have 150,000 puppies. Maybe this time it'll work.
Mittens, I'm surprised you have not said puppy wood chipper yet.
Yes.
Oh man,
you haven't mentioned this yet. So there are people with their bingo cards waiting, and they haven't gotten.
Oh god, puppy wood chipper go brrr. Like man, it is really nice to fire that baby up. Like you know, it's a lot of work too, because like you know the logistics wins wars, planning wins wars, doing the work. Lyndon Johnson had a quote that I like to steal pretty regularly, which is, "If you want to win, all you have to do is everything." Right. And that's one of the things about going into this fight across the entire Imperium. A tremendous amount of work went into it. I got 4 hours of sleep. Most of my team got fuck all sleep. Everybody was setting their alarm clocks. We knew we would be outnumbered 4-1. We knew we were going to get attacked from multiple fronts. We knew that these guys were going to throw everything they had at us on a weekend because we humiliated them so badly in U.S. time zone 2 nights ago. We made such a mess of their little thin-skinned egos by showing them what they were actually going to have to deal with. But now that they have decided to attack us like this, we knew it was going to be a ton of work. And
speaking of power moves,
go ahead, Asher.
No,
I almost didn't come today. Like I was gonna say, I woke up at like 10 a.m. and looked at my clock because I was up to like 5 a.m. last night dealing with some stuff. And so I got up at like 10 and I looked at my clock and it's like, it's probably 1600 Eve by now. So I'm probably late. So I'm probably just gonna go back to bed. Then I heard my alarm clock go off. So I figured, I was like, oh, I'll just check Jabber. And it was like right at 1430. I was like, oh, well, I guess we got a job to do.
It worked. Like, you know, a lot of things really came together there. And so I'm just really happy with that. Because that's one of the big distinctions you see here is that we have a unified chain of command. You know, I'm not in charge of every Imperium alliance, but all the Imperium alliances are together. We work together. We're in constant communication. All of this, oh my God, like goons in the initiative don't get along is bullshit because we are constantly working together with the initiative. I'm sorry, rando pubbies, that your little plan didn't work out and your whole split the Imperium thing turned out to be just about as effective as your invasion plans.
I have an analogy for you if you want.
Go for it. Let's hear it.
What sort of Roman invasion was this like?
No. Have you ever seen the movie Red Tails? No, there's a movie called Red Tails.
World War II. It was about World War II, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Tuskegee Airmen in World War II.
The Tuskegee Airmen. I love the Tuskegee Airmen.
Tuskegee.
They had these like
World War II references are back.
All right, hold on. Yeah. This is gonna be good. So they had this like policy of they wouldn't like chase fighters. They would like stay with bombers and protect them, and they had a big deal about like they used to call it forget the prize, save the lives. And it just like as I'm watching these fighters like stream at the gate to kill us. Their fighters were so concerned about getting kill mails and kill marks for the carriers. They just forgot about the Keepstar that was over there repairing the whole time, which is just, it reminded me of that quote. So I told my fleet that after we bombed, I was like, God, if they had just been smart and had like even 50 carriers shoot the Keepstar, they actually probably would have won.
Then they would have missed out on some Ferox kills though. So
Yeah, I guess.
I have a fucking smug afterglow right now. Like, this is yikes. Wow, good shit. I don't know, we plan to still be in heavy tie-dye. We're still going to be fighting during the meta show.
I had the whole mock-up ready to go.
10 hours to go through the armor layer.
I was ready. I had a mock-up ready. I had my Karma Fleet alt sitting in a scepter off the Keep Star, ready to have the background. I had all kinds of little things planned so we could talk about it during the show and have it live and everything. And we didn't need any of it. Now, I'm not complaining. Because I'd rather be over-prepared than under-prepared.
Another thing Tess did to kind of add salt to the wound is that yesterday I asked Kate Color to let Bomber Waff know that I was going to do bombers today. And so Tess did a broadcast where they're like, hey guys, Boat's doing bombers tomorrow, so let's show them how it's really done. And then they went to bomb, and I think they killed a couple of Feroxes.
Oh my. Well, I mean, to be fair, like the one good thing on the enemy side, at least on Tess military side, that actually does work is they do have predators. They've got a pretty good bomber crew, but that's the only thing I can say about that, like Tess military or their leadership.
They bombed me the other day. I pretty rarely get bombed. So
yeah, like that's the one bright spark of competence.
That was my fault.
In all of Tess military is the bomber group. The rest of it's a fucking joke. I mean, also
the buck stops here.
Just FYI, again, I keep saying Test is next, and now that you guys can see what we have on offer for the rest of the Delve Invasion, I just want to have a little memo here to PanFam, which is, I assure you, I was quite serious on July 4th, midnight, when I gave my State of the Union, and I said that we're done with PanFam as an enemy. Like, you can be mad at us, you can chase us around, you can yowl about how you want to have headliner on the show, and you can, Vince can send, you know, whatever, you do your thing, right? It's fine. We're moving on. So the moment that this whole Fountain Front thing, I mean, if you guys actually do manage to get into Delph, you know, whatever, good luck, God bless. But the moment we're out of any kind of pressure whatsoever, and we're still already working on this, like we got 70 freaking Athenors online in test space the other day because they're completely incompetent. You know, we are quite serious about taking out our vengeance on test, because they're worse posters, they're fun to shoot, they're really annoying. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, we saw, you know, Elise was in local, and it's like, you know, okay, all the gang's all here, we're doing our normal thing. But I mean, come on, guys, we've been doing this shit for like 14 years now. We just want to chase test around, and that's what we're going to do. So test is still next. We are going to take it out of their hides, regardless how this goes down. So, you know, if you're unhappy with how utterly incompetent test leadership has been in fucking up that Raven fleet and losing this fight after all of your efforts, you know, just you can just lean back a little bit. Honey, we'll take care of them. We will absolutely take care of the test problem for you. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Everybody, I'd like to thank Boat for coming on the show. He can't stay with us for the rest of the show, but we wanted to have him on because he's the hero of the hour and we miss him. So thank you, Boat, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys. See
ya. Thank you, Boat. Ah, man.
All right.
I mean, remember being this relaxed during a meta show. I'm just like leaning back here. I got my, you know, that video kind of, you know, I got to herf my blurfs, and then we got to watch that Baghdad Brisk video was amazing. And then Boat got to smug and give us a World War II analogy. And I got to broadcast the Picard song for the first time in this war. So it's, you know, it's good shit, guys. It's fucking good shit.
So, all right. So, guys, answer me this. Was this a great meta show, or was this the greatest meta show?
The greatest, dude.
How many more things can we do?
I had not seen. So for people, you know, obviously, I hope my mic was muted during the video. I had not seen that video. My face hurt from laughing so hard. And you guys could see, even after the video was over, Boat was talking about stuff and I couldn't stop cracking up. The no pants aspect of Fountain Frank killed me. Whenever zoom out, you know, okay, Matterall, like, oh my God. You got a Captain Soban crack in there too. It was so good. It was beautiful.
I was laughing really hard, but I did have a strange feeling. Did anyone look at Brisk's feet and feel something stirring?
See, I was wondering if Wally was going to be all excited by the fact that that there was feet pics of me there, you know, that they can grab. So, I mean, this obviously, you know, we held this. We did this earlier this week. I'd like to thank Skeptic Nerd Guy who provided. Oh, I forgot. I got to show you guys. Let me grab it real quick. Skeptic made some hot sauce. Fountain Frank hot sauce, which we put in the background there. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
Chipotle pineapple hot sauce, which is in the background. It's pretty good.
Amazing.
And we were working, I was working on the video all week. Now, I have to say, I did go out after I finished the video and upgraded my audio, because the audio was not the best in that. But well, next time it'll be better. But we had fun. And I also want to throw a thank you to the guys in Mini Love, or Mini True, I should say, because Mini True was the genesis of this. Froggy Storm mentioned last week, he said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if you could do like Brisk interviewing Fountain Frank? Wouldn't that be funny? And it's like, yeah, but that'd be so hard to do, like production values. And I was like, I can do that. So we did it. And it'll be fun. So I'll have that up on YouTube and Reddit later in the day for you guys who want to go back and watch it again. But yeah, that was fun. That was fun to do. But thanks to Mrs. Brisk for being willing to put up with all the bullshit of me doing that and helping to do the taping.
I love that too, because it's just rich that you guys put that together before we spent the last 48 hours kicking these guys' asses up and down pre-Delph, right?
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
So, right. Exactly. It's even better to have a fun Fountain Frank thing after.
mm-hmm. There you go.
I can't believe this shit.
You Mittens, go. you might need to wipe some pre-delve off you.
I got a little pre-delve down here. I got.
There you go.
Mm. God damn. I'll fucking take it. Ah, okay, so what were we had a show plan we were going to talk about.
We can pivot off of the fun a little bit, and I'll go ahead. We've got a little bit of actual news.
Oh my god, here. I just have a bunch of fucking smug laughter at this point. That was very cathartic. Like the
it was nice. It was
very,
very
relaxed
nice.
Now. It's
it was very
shit.
Nice. All right, so we're going to do a brief Piercing the Corporate Veil segment, and then we'll wrap the show for this weekend. So here we go. So another good news this week, we had the second quarter Pearl Abyss earnings call was on Thursday evening, our time, Eastern Freedom Time. And there were a number of important things that I think came out of that. And if you guys have not seen, I strongly urge you, because Noisy Gamer and I seem to be the two people that pay the most attention to this stuff. So we sit in Discord and chat with each other while the call is going on. He wrote an article about the... about what happened. So essentially, at least in terms of Eve news, the second quarter of 2020, and for whatever you want to speculate as the causes, was the absolute best quarter Eve Online revenue wise has produced since they were bought by Pearl Abyss in 2018. Their revenue was up almost 32% over last quarter, which was the worst quarter that they had ever done. And they generated about $16 million, which is pretty solid, you know, a solid quarter. They typically generate around 13. So they were up, it was 18.9 billion Korean won, which is about $60 million. That was pretty legit. And I think we've speculated internally about what potentially this could mean, what the result was. And I think largely it was probably a combination of COVID, everybody being home. It's too early for the war to be an impact, and I don't know what kind of an impact the war would really have, because I don't know how many people resubbed a bunch of accounts for the war yet. I haven't seen that, or at least we don't have the numbers on that yet, so maybe we'll see that in the next quarter. But I think the obvious biggest thing was Serenity finally launched in April, so they had a big boost from the Chinese server, and that was new money coming in. And then,
I gotta be
obviously,
honest, I totally tuned this out. Did they make more or less money, CCP?
They made a lot more money. They Thank made you. Like $3 million more, money more than they normally make.
Well, with all the skins coming out, yeah. Okay.
There you go. It's all skins. It's new skins. That's it. So they made more money. And in addition, Eve Echoes, the mobile game that they have put out, partnered with NetEase in China, came out on Thursday. They had 5 million pre-registrations for that game, which is crazy. I've been playing it. It's kind of fun. It's fun. I like it. I mean, it's a fun game. It's probably the best mobile game that I've played. I've played a few. I'm not a huge mobile gamer, but I kind of like it. It feels like Eve. It sounds like Eve. It's like an F1 Monkey's dream of Eve. You just have to you warp to an anomaly, and you hit one button, and it auto-does everything for you. Shoot stuff, and orbit stuff, and target stuff. It's great.
All with one button? Seriously?
Like, yeah, it's one button, and you just have to... That's it. It's great.
Wow. Okay.
So, it's not... I think, frankly, I think if it has staying power, I think it'll make them some money. It'll make them some money. But I think it's a good game. It's pretty polished. The launch went well. I alarm clock for it, oddly enough. It was 4 a.m. Freedom time, and I was up at 3:45, and the servers were on early. Jita is already like packed with 1,000 people all the time, so it feels like Eve. So if you haven't had a chance to try Eve Echoes, I suggest go out and try it. At the very least, it's free. It's just like same kind of model of subscriptions and stuff that Eve has. You've got alphas and omegas, and you can pay for stuff like that. So go ahead and try it out. And the other thing is NetEase has not gotten their China license yet. So this is just everywhere in the world but China. And China mobile game market is humongous. And I expect that hopefully we will see these guys making some more money down the road from this game, which is still an Eve IP. Hopefully we'll be good. So there you go. We did good.
Yeah, I mean, more money good. Like, you know, this is one of the great things. It's like when CCP is making money, we don't have to like have any quibbles or discussions about like what direction is the game headed in, because as long as there is profit, then the future of the game is bright and we can continue to feed puppies into the wood chipper as long as they keep trying to storm the gates of Delph. So yeah, high fives all around. Let's see. What else do we got? Man, this is just amazing. I'm still kind of discombobulated from all the murder.
Well, it's good.
They brought everyone on a Saturday, and they just face planted and shat themselves repeatedly. It was wow. You know, wars are not often won by the winner, they're lost by the loser, and that was some lost by the loser bullshit today.
At
the first timer, like right after it came out or reinforced, 1600 hits, they barely pause it, whoops, the ravens go away, thanks boat, thanks bliss, and then they smear some shit on the walls and fuck everything up, and yeah, cool. I mean, we do, again, in fairness to our enemies, we do have some IHUB timers to clean up the next couple of days. We need to do the homework. We need to dig the space trenches. We gotta, instead of resting on our laurels, we need to, you know, capitalize on this, work harder, work more, because there are still 150,000 puppies. They did blew the entire galaxy and they still couldn't stop us today, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to keep trying, and so we do need to be on our guard. We should smug, we should victory lap, but then we got to get back to work. But god damn, this is
I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to Saturday.
This is not how
tonight.
I expected my Saturday to go.
I mean, that's it. It's great. I mean, and that's the thing. We're 6 weeks, 7 weeks in. I guess this is 7 weeks in. This was the first major fight. Yeah, it's great. You know, we'll have plenty more of these where we get to do this again, and maybe we'll get to try some of our other ideas that never got it. Really made.
Yeah,
it past the
we have such fantastic. We have such wonderful things to show you. Such wonderful, wonderful things, and. Yeah, I mean, sorry guys. I expected that we would have more to go over other than the doom and incompetence of our foes, our glorious victory today, our glorious victory 2 days ago, which we kind of already covered, the continued failure of test, which I don't even have to, like, we don't even have to have an argument about it. You all watched it. It was in front of the eyes of the entire galaxy. Even the people that weren't in the fight were watching it on INN, because we had a wonderful stream earlier.
And I want to give a shout out to Mifune and Dax and the guys that handled that stream. They were on for 6 hours. And then Eric and the guys from Push to Talk came on board with them. That was great. I mean, and we had 1,900, 2,000 people. When Ron the Crayon Eater stream failed, we were there for you. INN was there for you.
So even test stream failed because it's a test stream and everything they do turns to shit. Is that what happened? Or, I mean, seriously.
I don't know. It just cut out like in the middle. And then it was funny because I was watching the whole time and we had like 1,200 or 1,300 and Ron had like 1,100. And then something happened to his stream and I was trying to watch both of them and it kind of cut out. So we got all of their audience. So he ended up having like 800 or 900 for a while. And then we ended up over like 2000. And it was funny. But I mean, Mifune, I got to give him credit. I mean, the guy's 19 years old. He can't even have a beer. And he's up for 6 hours on a Saturday morning commentating all the stuff. So there's a star rising right there on INN. Got to give that. Give Mifune a happy little gold star.
It's been a good day. There has never been a more apt description of AK status not used. It has very much been a good day because we had some AKs in that Keepstar. We were strapped. We were ready to go, and we did not have to use our AKs. So, there you go. Yeah.
Saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp.
Good shit.
And it read, Mitani's uphill. There you go. All right, gentlemen, I'm ready. We're a little early. We got a couple minutes, but I
think that's about it. I mean, I have nothing other than laughter and contempt for our foes.
I've been on this show for like, I just probably the least I've ever talked on this show. I've probably said five or six sentences. So,
Asher, do you have any final parting thoughts?
You guys have favorite FC. You know what? Like FC and the Imperium. I think I've already said this, but I just want to say shout out to all our dudes who did the prep for this because it was an insane amount of prep,
A ton of work.
And they're just on fire. So I know a lot of people were you know spending 8, 9, 10 hours yesterday getting ready for this. It's awesome to have people that committed that, and then it's awesome to have that commitment pay off. And I just want to welcome the Pappy side to what it's like to do it without us having capitals, and I'll see you in 180 more of these when we have capitals. Have a great year.
There you go. All right, gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for joining us. I know you've been watching 6 hours of straight Imperium news streaming. So thank you for joining us for the Meta Show for the last hour. I'm Brisker Ball. I am joined by the Mitani and Asher, our favorite FC. Thanks for being here. We will see you next week. Pine cones, Delenda Est, and you stay classy, New Eden.